Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is part 3 of Shesh, which is linen in Hebrew. It is interesting to note that Shesh can also be the number 6. The 6th day is the day of preparation for Shabbat, and as it correlates to the 6th day, as 1,000 years is a one day to Yahuwah, we anticipate his 1,000-year or day of Shabbat or rest coming soon. Father is restoring the knowledge and understanding of Shemen or oil and Shesh linen to his bride so that she can prepare in this day for his return on the 6th day. As she realizes that she is the Living Stones Tabernacle, she not only spiritually and emotionally prepares, but like any bride, she is physically preparing herself. Last week in part 2, we left off with Asenath's father announcing that Joseph was coming. Joseph is a picture of Yeshua coming, and he sees this young woman unclean. But he comes a second time, and she has repented and she is clean, just as Yahweh will send his son Yeshua for a clean bride. And in both cases, they will be prepared in white linen for their wedding garment. I will now begin the continuation of this pre-recorded teaching from earlier this year when I presented it.
So her father's announcing, hey, he's coming. I want you to know about this Joseph that's coming. Of course, she probably knows who he is, but she doesn't know he's coming. And so she goes in and she hurries up and she puts on her white linen robes, okay? And so, you know, her father's telling her, oh, my child, I want you to get yourself all together because, you know, my skedoa. I don't think she has a white robe on yet. No, she doesn't have a white robe, I don't think. She's got this violet and gold robe. She's got her tiara on, et cetera. And her father's saying, I want you to come down and meet this Joseph. He's going to be here. Now, then she finds out that her father basically has plans for her to set her up with Joseph, okay? So she gets pretty ticked off. She's full of pride. And he says, come, my child, I want to hand you over to him for his wife, and I'll make you his bride. And you'll be his bride. He'll be your bridegroom forever. And when Asenath heard these things, these words from her father, plenty of red sweat poured over her face, and she became furious with great anger, and she looked at her father in her eyes, and she says, why does my lord and my father speak such words to me to hand me over like a captive to a man who is an alien, a fugitive, and was sold as a slave? Is he not the shepherd's son of the land of Canaan? And he himself was caught in the act as if he was sleeping with his mistress, and his master threw him into the prison of darkness? And Pharaoh brought him out of the prison because he interpreted his dream just like the older women of the Egyptians. Ha ha. Now, she says, no, but I will be married to the firstborn's king's son because he's the king of the whole land of Egypt. Now, hearing this, her father, he's ashamed that he even brought this whole thing up to her. And what I thought was really interesting here is, isn't that just like us believers dispersed throughout the nations that are eating pig and shrimp and dressing like whores? And I don't mean because we're not wearing linen. I'm talking because we don't dress modestly. We do not dress like we are virgins betrothed to the King of Kings. We do not hold what is sacred about our personal. We don't hold to living and walking in his Torah and his ways. We don't live and hold trying to understand his feasts or the way he wants to eat or wants us to eat or how he wants us to dress. And we just, like, no, we just want to call our Christianity what we want. We just want to call our Messianic Judaism whatever we want. Or, you know, if you're New Age or witch, whatever you want to call yourself, we just want to do what we want to do. We don't want to have anything to do with the King of Kings because we despise him. We think he's trash. He's just a shepherd. You know, he's a slave. He's captive, whatever. He's a lowlife. He gave his life. He didn't come to rule and conquer. He came and laid down his life, and they let him kill him. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the attitude that we have. Even when we think we're going somewhere with him, we really don't desire to fulfill his every desire, like in the Book of Psalms or Song of Solomon. Anyway, so she's really ticked off, okay? Her father's embarrassed that he even asked her to do anything. And so now we get to this. Here comes Joseph. He's coming up. He's in his chariot. And he's dressed in exquisite white tunic and a robe, which he had thrown around him that was purple, made of linen interwoven with gold and a crown. And Joseph descended from his chariot, and he greeted them with his right hand. And the story goes on. Now, okay, so now Asenath sees Joseph, who she despises and is angry about. And as soon as she casts her eyes upon him, now think about it, this is like the bride is going to be. As soon as she casts her eyes upon her groom, this is how she's going to feel. Does not the scriptures say this? I mean, that we're going to mourn, that we have pierced him. Here's what she looks. Here's how she feels. She goes, she was strongly cut to the heart, and her soul was crushed, and her knees were paralyzed, and her entire body trembled, and she was filled with great fear, and she sighed and said in her heart, what shall I do now, wretched that I am? Did I not speak, saying that Joseph is coming, that he's just a shepherd from the land of Canaan? And now, behold, the sun from heaven has come to us in its chariot and entered our house today and shines in it like the light upon the earth. But I, foolish and daring, have despised him and spoken wicked words about him and did not know that Joseph is the son of God. For who among men on earth will generate such beauty? And what womb of a woman will give birth to such a light? What a wretched and foolish girl I am, because I have spoken wicked words about him to my father. And now where shall I go and hide from his face in order that Joseph, the son of God, does not see me because I have spoken wicked things about him? Where shall I flee and hide because every hiding place he sees and nothing hidden escapes him because of the great light that is inside of him? And now be gracious to me, Lord God of Joseph. You know, is that not the exact words that the bride is going to say about Yahweh, the light of the world? She goes, be gracious to me, Lord God of Joseph, because I have spoken wicked words against him in ignorance. And now let my father give me to Joseph for a maidservant and a slave, and I will serve him forever. See, here she was offered being the bride, but she's just now, because of the presence of him and seeing him, she's saying, I'll be his servant. Just let me be his servant. I'll clean his toilets. Okay, people? That's how you feel when you really know him, when you really begin to just touch and know who he is. You know you're not worthy to be his bride. You know that you're not clean enough. Now, Joseph is convinced that Asenath will not molest him and agrees to meet her because, you know, he's got to understand, he lived a pure, pure life. Here's some really interesting wording here. They want him to meet him, of course. Penifres wants him to meet his daughter and, you know, kind of greets him in the world's way of greeting. And this is what Joseph says. First of all, he's worried that the girls, evidently he had a problem because he was good looking, that all the wives and the daughters of the Egyptians, when they saw Joseph, suffered badly because of his beauty. But Joseph despised them, and the messengers whom the woman sent to him with gold and silver and valuable presents, see, they tried to buy him. And he would send back them with threats and insults because Joseph would say, I will not send before the Lord my God. And see, all the women would hate him because they couldn't capture him with their power of lust or beauty or money. And the face of his father, Jacob, Joseph always before him. See, Joseph held on to the words of his father like the instructions in the Torah says in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Do not forsake the teachings of your mother and your father. He always had those words before him because he loved his father like we're to love our father and to love the words and meditate on his word. For Jacob would say to his son Joseph and all his sons, my children, guard strongly against associating with a strange woman. For association with her is destruction and corruption. Therefore, Joseph said, let this woman leave this house. And Penifres said to him, Lord, this one whom you have seen standing in the upper floor is not a strange woman. She's our daughter. Now, my question here is, if she's described as a strange woman, like I'm thinking of a strange woman in the book of Proverbs, how was she dressed? Even though she was a virgin, did she look like she belonged to the world? Was she dressed in a seductive way? Did she have, you know, too much makeup or dress in a way that revealed her dress and her form? I just want to know. Nonetheless, she goes on, he says, this is our daughter. She's a virgin. She's been hating every man, and there's not any man who's ever seen her except that you alone today. Now, we don't understand this in our culture, but in other cultures, they hide their brides. They hide their daughters. They don't let them get exposed to being defiled. So we don't understand that in our culture. You know, we just poo-poo that. But I'm telling you, people, a father, you know, I've been listening to some country songs. You know, there's an old country song that goes, Wolverine Mountain. Well, there's an old song about the man who lives up in the hill, and he goes, how dare he hide his daughter up there on Wolverine Mountain? I should have the right to her, basically, you know. And I listen to that song now, and I think about Torah, and I think about Yahweh's word, and I think about how dare we, in all our songs for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, we despise the mother and the father because we don't want to seek the blessing and the authority of the mother and father to wed or to go out or to sleep or to have sex or whatever people want to do with someone's children. And we're just like that with our Heavenly Father. Who gave their life? Who has invested everything they have to give, to provide, to raise their children up, to be holy and set apart and to wait for the day that they will give them with blessing and with authority to the spouse that's appointed to them. How dare we despise that position of that mother and that father? And Christians and believers and Messianic, we do it all the time. We need to give honor and give blessing and authority from that parent to give that child over. Just like our Heavenly Father is going to give blessing and honor and authority for his children and for his daughter to be the bride to his son. Those are subtle thoughts that are put in our music and our culture. And our Father wants to hide us, and in the days to come, he's going to hide his bride in the wilderness. Okay, so anyway, it goes on. He says, she's not strange. She's our daughter. She's a virgin, okay? And then this is what Joseph says. And if you will come and dress her, she's like a sister to you, Potiphar says. And Joseph says, with great joy, Potiphar, he says, she is a virgin, hating every man. And Joseph said to himself, if she is a virgin, hating every man, this girl will certainly not molest me. And Joseph said to Potiphar and his whole family, if she is your daughter and a virgin, then let her come see me, because she is a sister to me, and I will love her as my sister. Now, Joseph will not be kissed by Asenath, but prays for her conversion. And Asenath's mother went up to the upper floor and brought her and stood before Joseph. And she said, greet your brother, because he too is a virgin like you. I mean, do we in our culture extol the virtues of a man and a woman to be virgins? And does our sons and daughters love to be held that way? Not likely. They're ashamed of it. Anyway, he goes on to say, he says, meet your sister or your brother. And Potiphar said to his daughter, now go up and kiss your brother. And Asenath went up to kiss Joseph. But Joseph stretched out his right hand, and he put it on, I'm going to skip this part because I think the mistranslation or whatever, but anyway, he puts his hand up to her chest, basically. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. Okay? He says this, it is not fitting for a man who worships Yahweh, who will bless with his mouth the living God, and eat blessed bread of life, and drink a blessed cup of immortality, and anoint himself with a blessed ointment of incorruptibility, to kiss a strange woman who will bless with her mouth dead and dumb idols, and eat from their table bread of strangulation, and drink from their libation a cup of insidiousness, and anoint herself with the anointment of destruction. Now, for whatever reason, he knew that she ate defiled food and worshiped idols. And he goes on to say, but a man who worships God will kiss his mother and his sister who is born of his mother, and the sister who is born of his clan and family, and the wife who shares his bed. Likewise, a woman who worships God is not fitting to kiss a strange man, because this is an abomination before Yahweh.
We will return right after a short break. Those in covenant with Yahweh are the Living Stones Tabernacle. The instructions for the Wilderness Tabernacle called for the Holy of Holies to have shesh, or linen curtains that reflect light. Thus, Yahweh's people were dressed in linen, as they were called to reflect His light to the nations. Solomon built a house for Yahuwah, lining the walls with cedar wood and the floors with cypress. Did you know the essential oils of cedar wood and cypress are some of the least expensive? Yet they are some of the most powerful and pleasing to our Heavenly Father, as their aroma filled the tabernacle. Cedarwood has been used to clear the mind, to help focus and when praying or meditating on scripture. It's been suggested to help prevent Alzheimer's, aid arthritis, and repel mosquitoes. Cypress is known to help control bleeding, purify the blood, and reduce lymphatic congestion. Both cedarwood and cypress are used to calm the body, soul, and spirit by simple inhalation. Their aromas are known to soothe the nerves, promoting a good night's sleep. Both have been used to assist the respiratory system. Go to the Hebrew Nation radio store and click on Remnant Remedy for more information about cedarwood and cypress and how they might support the walls and foundation of your Living Stones Tabernacle. Welcome back as we continue part 3 of Shesh.
Now, and Asenath heard these words of Joseph, and she was cut to the heart strongly and was distressed exceedingly inside. And she kept gazing at Joseph with her eyes open, her eyes filled with tears. And Joseph saw her, and he had a mercy on her exceedingly. Now, think about this. This is a picture of Yahweh coming to his bride, and he wants to embrace her, you know, as family or a bride or whatever. And we have unclean lips. We have defiled ourselves. And so she goes, now Joseph turns around, though, his great compassion is a picture of our Father. He has exceeding mercy on her and was himself cut to his heart, because Joseph was meek and merciful and fearing God. And he lifted up his right hand and he put it upon her head. And this is what he said, Yahuwah, God of my father Israel, and most high, the powerful one of Jacob, who gave life to all things and called him from the darkness to the light and from the era of the truth and from death to life, bless this virgin and renew her spirit. Form her anew in your hidden hand and make her alive again by your life, and let her eat your bread of life and drink your cup of blessing and number her among your people. And you have chosen before all things came into being, and let her enter into your rest, which you have prepared for the ones that are chosen, and live in your eternal life forever and ever. Now, I'm going to just finish up. I'm not going to read the rest of these excerpts that I had pulled. But basically what happens, and what's really interesting here, is it says that he's going to leave. When he leaves, she starts bitterly weeping and going into repentance. And she goes in and locks herself up, puts on a black tunic. She doesn't eat or drink anything. She puts on ashes. And he's going to return on the eighth day. Now, to me, this represents the eighth great day of Sukkot at the wedding feast. And she goes in and she repents of all her idols. And at the end of all these days, when she gets through repentance, she comes to this place, and this is the prayer. Basically, I'm going to read just an excerpt of this prayer. She says, "What a wretched woman I am, and an orphan and desolate. My mouth is defiled by the sacrifices of idols and from the blessings of the gods of the Egyptians. How shall I open my mouth to the Most High, and how name his terrible," which in this case is trembling, fearing, holy name, "and be sure that God, Yahweh, will not be angry with me." She doesn't even know how to call upon his name. And she doesn't, it even backs up to say, "And she turned again away to the wall and sat and struck her head and her breast with her hands often and said in her heart," because she would not open her mouth during these days of repentance to gather food or water or to speak. She goes through, she confesses her sins, and she says these prayers, several pages long. And if I remember correctly without rereading, basically what happens is Yahweh speaks to her, tells her to get up. Here it is. A man comes down from heaven, which we could call the angel of the Lord or Yeshua or whoever, and he introduces himself as the chief of the angels, and he orders her to get dressed. And what does he tell her to wear? She goes in and gets a new white linen robe, and she dresses it in it, and she comes out to meet Joseph. And remember, she's just willing to be his slave. She comes out. Yahweh speaks to Joseph's heart. He's had her repent. Joseph comes back. He comes back to the house on that eighth day. He looks at her. She is clean and repented, and he asks her to marry him. I just think. And their wedding garments are like lightning. That's white. That's white. And anyway, I encourage you to read that story. I think it's phenomenal, and I don't know why it was ever taken out of scriptures, because some men in the canonizing decided that it wasn't important anymore, like the book of some other books they've taken out. But welcome, Batya.
Well, thank you. What a wonderful story. I love hearing that. And I'm so glad I'm able to get on and be with you tonight. You know, linen is one of my favorite topics. I love sharing about linen. I love what the Father is doing about restoring linen to the body and to those who are tuned in, trying to hear what the Father wants them to even be adorned in. And just like the bride that you just shared about, how she's wearing that white linen. And I could just picture that in my, you know, I just had a visual picture of it as you were reading that story. So it's just so beautiful. I know that tonight, I really just kind of want to, if I had my way, we'd just keep listening to the stories that you were, and to the scriptural aspects of linen, because it is so significant, I think, for us in these times. But there's also, like everything else that Father does for us, not only does he give us the scriptural basis for things, but he gives us physical properties that, and now through science, we've been able to understand the wonderful properties of linen and why it's so beneficial for us to have and to be using in our homes and to be using on our bodies, to be wearing. One of the things that Father's been doing with me in the field that I'm in is the healthcare field, is he's really been giving me practical uses of linen, as well as the spiritual and scriptural understanding. And so I feel blessed to be able to share that with folks, because a lot of times people have a concept of linen that it's something that it may be too expensive, or it's too beautiful to try to wear on a daily basis, or, you know, to have in a setting such as a healthcare setting. And just as I was preparing tonight, I was remembering about the properties of linen and why linen is healthy for us. Just to recap a few of those things, but let's just kind of look at some of the quick facts about linen One of the things that a lot of people don't know about linen is that it has high air permeability, and that's why everybody loves it. That's why they were able to wear it in the one they were carrying the ark, is because that helps prevent the sweating, and that helps with that. So it also, the heat conductivity of linen is 5 times higher than wool. And a lot of, even though they have the same signature frequency, linen and wool have the same signature frequency, linen actually is warmer than wool.
Explain signature. What do you mean by signature frequency?
Signature frequency is the measurement in which they're able to measure the fabrics, and that's the studies that have been done. And that's like in electricity, we may see amps, and the measurement of how they measure the force of an electrical impulse or an electrical pulse. So signature frequency is the measurement that they have been assigned to how they're actually measuring various fabrics. And we all, you know, even the body has an electrical frequency, because we have all these neurons and electrons and things that are firing constantly. So we actually, our bodies even have electrical frequencies. So when scientists were studying fabrics, and looking at the fact that there was a frequency, the signature frequency is the unit in which frequency is measured for fabrics.
And if I understand it correctly, everything that's created has a frequency or a signature.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Even the plants the plant life that we use, the food that we eat, that's the reason a lot of people want to eat raw, because there's a frequency in that food that gives you life. From the nutrient value, because those nutrient values are part of that. And Father just created everything, and that's even with the light. You know, the light is the energy, and that's part of what, I believe that's part of what we are and part of how he's made us, is to be a light for him, and part of that light physically shines through us with these frequencies that we're talking about. And I know that's a little far-fetched for some folks, but I encourage you to check it out. Start doing some research and look at the human body and look at from a physical standpoint and a scientific standpoint of frequency. And Father knows everything. When he created everything, he put frequencies in, various frequencies in things.
Right. Well, and frequency, the word of God, created all things.
Yes.
It's kind of hard at first to wrap your mind around until you start seeing it and understanding it.
Right. Well, even the spoken word, studies have been done, and this doesn't have anything to do with linen. Maybe we can talk about this another time, but the spoken word, various studies have been done about words having different frequencies. They are either life or they're death, and Scripture backs that up. Scripture says,
right,
life is in the power of the tongue. You know, words are in the tongue. That's life or death. And so that's not an exact quote, but you know what I'm talking about with that. But that's the reason I said your words are so powerful. So everything, and that's just another example of everything having frequency. So when the scientists are, when they're measuring frequency of various fabrics, one of the things that we look at with linen is the fact that it has a 5,000 signature frequency. And wool also has 5,000 signature frequency. Many of us have read in Scripture that we are not supposed to mix linen and wool, okay? We do that out of our hearts, out of obedience, because that's what the Father has asked us to do, and that's his instruction for us. At least that's what I did, and I know many other people who do the same thing. But now we understand why that has happened. Science has proven that the combination of wool and linen on your body, if you're wearing wool and linen, they both have 5,000 signature frequency. They actually cancel each other out and can create pain in the body. And so now we understand scientifically why we're not supposed to mix the linen and the wool.
Right.
And,
we have a physical understanding of what his word says is true, because to us, science is nothing more than the revelation of what Yahweh has created.
Exactly.
Our time is up today. Thank you for joining us. As you may have noticed, Batya Bat Levi joined me in this section of Sheish, and we will continue next week on part 4 as we discuss the properties, health benefits, and how to sew linen and what items you might want for your home. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. Learn how to make healing oils on your own, grinding wheat and storing food.